This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Antonio Pierce of the New York Giants, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Real quickly, Antonio Pierce, now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Real quickly, before we go to the phone lines, Wes, anything you'd do different? Anything you would change from your UFC days?
My God, there's a lot of regret. I mean, you can't hang on to it.
We don't have enough time.
We don't have enough time. I wish I would have worked harder, done things a little bit different, but you know, everything has led me to the day, so it wasn't too bad.
Good stuff. And Rutkus, give me one good something before Dan Argetta comes on.
What do you want to hear
just
about?
Tell me one good thing. How old are you now?
13.
13.
God. I have a question. I want to know, how old do you think you are when you'll take your dad in wrestling? When do you think you can pin him? What age
14.
Will you be?
14.
Oh, next year.
Wow. Next Whoa. Year. Well, honestly, guys, thank you very much for popping in. Wes, always great to see you. I love you, dude. And I will make sure those things get taken care of.
I'm going to leave them. And, I'm going to leave them right on Raising Ruckus shirt.
Oh, on my shirt. Cool. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
And I'm going to get my rear naked choke picture.
All right. We'll do that during the break. But right now, let's go to the phone lines as we get ready for another UFC weekend. Can't wait, as we never can. And welcome Dan Argetta. Dan, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. What's the best part of fight week? Not counting the reward, which is Saturday?
I'm going to be honest with you. I like that it's all about me. It's your birthday week.
you know, it's funny that you say this because, A, my co-host, Matt, he wants to make it always about him. We had Wes Sims here for the past hour, UFC veteran with his son, Rutkus. They said, Rutkus, it's all about him. So the three of you should start a podcast together.
Matt, it's your life. They're just living in it, right?
That's it, big dog. So speaking of Wes Sims, he actually has a Chicago connection, as do you, Dan. So what's the MMA culture like in Chicago?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know much because I never trained in Chicago.
You're down south, right? South Florida?
No. I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. I knew that, you know, with Greg Jackson.
Yeah.
I happened to see that.
I split my time in New Mexico with Greg Jackson, Mike Winklejohn, and Diori Dominguez, who was, retired Special Forces.
Have you ever seen Greg upset? Now, I've stayed at his house. I've been at the gym. I've never seen him, like, lose his temper. Have you ever seen him get mad?
Yeah. And me? Yeah.
No, just in general.
I've seen it a couple. Okay. I've seen it a couple times. You really have to be fucking up.
He said trucking up.
Bucking up. Bucking up response.
Oh, yeah, bucking up. Sorry.
He said thank you. Up. Thank you. Shout out.
You could continue now that we know that you said, you know, bucked up and trucked.
But it also, I've been yelled at a few times. I really have to frustrate him, though.
Spent a lot of time with Greg, so great guy. Went skydiving, a good dude. Are you a fan of other sports, other athletes?
Depends. I enjoy watching boxing. I enjoy No, I guess not. Nope.
No.
So, Dan, so this question is a little bit different. You know, in life.
On this show, it'll be different.
No, in life, you know, everything has a history. It comes back full circle. You know, we just saw it recently with the bite. Wes here has a bite mark on his chest from UFC 47. So, do you go back and watch the original UFC fights? Do you watch the history of the sport? Are you a fan of the legends? Or is it a new era now and nobody cares?
No. I'm a big fan. You know, I have friends that competed in the first UFCs. I have friends that were offered to compete in the first UFCs and never took the opportunity. I have, you know, mentors who said if the sport was around, like if people were training MMA before that, they would have been world champions. So I think that, you know, the sport's timeless. It goes in rotations, and has seasons of when moves come back. And, you know, for instance, this fight of mine, it's a battle of specialties. We both know how to do everything, but this guy, his strongest asset is kickboxing and Muay Thai. My strongest asset is kicking bass.
Yep.
100% right.
What is the biggest change that you've seen since, you know, the start of your career to last week's training?
Dude, everything. The start of my career, I was invincible. I would overtrain. The sky was the limit without ever being battle tested. Now, I'm battle tested. I'm as smart as I can be. Not as smart as I can be. I'm as smart as I ever was. I'm as strong as I ever have been. I'm as fast as I ever have been. You know, I spent months cleaning up my game just to get a good grade on my next report card.
Right. If you could ask a veteran from what UFC was it, Wes? 40 what?
47.
47.
43.
If you could ask a veteran from back in UFC 43 or 47 era, what would it be? And as well as Wes, what would you ask?
Can you give me three names that were on that card?
Mike Kyle. But Mike Kyle is the one who bit Wes Sims, so that's the only reason why I remember it was Mike Kyle.
Arlovski was on there. Cabbage was on there. I don't remember the rest of it.
What's one thing I would ask those guys?
Yeah.
That generation.
Yes.
Truthfully, I would ask if they could go back to their training days, would they have gone in with the same intensity, or would they have trained a little bit smarter to have better longevity in their career or better performance longevity? You know, Andre's still fighting, but I mean, as in, like, does he feel 100% healthy? Could he have been healthier right now? That's why I ask all these guys. I want to figure out how they trained and if they would have changed it to be healthier at the end.
Okay, there'll be three answers from three different people on Wes Sims. So Wes Sims happens to be in studio, so he's going to answer it. I'm going to tell you what I know about Wes Sims, and then I'm going to tell you what Mark Coleman would say about Wes Sims.
Dude, I love Mark Coleman. I just messaged him making sure he was okay. I haven't talked to him in a while, and he's doing well, he says.
Yeah, well, Wes is Mark Coleman's best friend. He was there that shot the videos and stuff. So if anybody knows Mark's status, it would be Wes.
Dan, yeah, it's just train hard, you know, train harder. I mean, nobody can outrun the clock. So you only have a small window. Train as hard as you possibly can. And good.
Well, I think, Wes, he was talking about more like the mindset of guys used to go into fight camp and fight every day to go into a fight. But
yeah,
now they're training smarter, not as much compression, not as much impact or injury in fight camp, so they can still make a paycheck. So the difference in knowing now what you know now, the PI and all those institutes, would you go back and change your approach to the game?
I think it's you. I mean, who's to say? Because then that was the way you trained. That was just the way you trained. I mean, I watched Forrest Griffin get knocked out in practice, get back up, sit down for a minute, shake it off, and get right back in there and go again.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just the way you trained.
That's the way it was then. Dan, let me ask you this. Are you a fan? Do you collect things, whether it's MMA memorabilia? Wes happened to bring in a pair of shorts that Antonio Tarver wore in Rocky VI. You know, so he's a big Rocky collector. Do you collect anything?
You guys are going to be on my ass. I collect sneakers.
Oh, hey, no, we're not going to be on your ass. Ruckus just lit up because he loves sneakers. He has all kinds.
I always find something that when I have an athlete on, and you can ask Nobby about this. My nephew owns a vintage store. It's the number one vintage store in Tampa Bay. So if there's something you're looking for or something you'd like to get a hold of, let me know whether it's, you know, by mess. Rutgers too. We'll take care of that. So they're a vintage store of old sneakers. So I don't know if you're the old or you're looking for new stuff.
And what's your best pair?
Either or.
What's your best pair, Dan?
I have a pair of Nike Presto Off-Whites.
Ruck is shaking his hand with a big
smile.
You got
the approval from Ruckus?
Yeah. That was
Google,
expensive, he said.
Google black Nike Presto Off-Whites.
Okay. Go ahead and Google that, guys. So we'll do that, but we'll talk after your fight. Take care of business, and then I'll get you hooked up with Jordan and see what we can do.
That'd be awesome.
Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
You know, man, I approach every guy like has world championship potential. I try not to overlook any opponents, and I try my best to make them mortal. I've studied this kid for the first week of training camp, put it away. I fixed all, I drilled, and then I watched him again a month later without sound on his fights and said, I beat this guy. And then kept training like that for another month, watched it again, and I'm like, now I dominate this guy. And as soon as, those fight nerves are hitting in the last 2 weeks, he's the background on my phone. I know where his birthmarks are. I know which way his hair combs over. I know the color of his eyes. Shit, I might as well know what he smells like by this point. I seen him for the first time in the hotel, and he's human.
You're the first person, because I always ask, questions about, do you care about the opponent, or, Wes and I always talk Rocky Balboa, so I'm kind of like, do you want to think about, not think about? And I've asked people, like, do you put their photo, like, on the window, the mirror, like Rocky did with Mr. T, and you're the first person that said, yes, I do. That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Well, the reason I did it, I had someone from college that's pretty, he's just not as educated in the sport as we are. Or he's not as in tune with how serious it is for the athlete, for someone like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he messaged me, oh, are you ready for your fight? This guy looks pretty tough. I don't know. And I'm like, why would you message that? And then I'm like, yep, I'm ready. And then he sends me a photo of him. Are you sure, man? He looks pretty tough. He's like, I'm pretty sure he says he can kick the shit out of you or talk crap on his social media. And I just stopped texting that guy back. I saw that picture and it pissed me off. And I was like, you know what? Screw that. I set that picture as my background because I realized it pissed me off. For the first couple hours, every time I opened my phone, I was like, click it, and I'd be like, oh, hurry up and unlock it. This picture pissed me off so much. And now I open it, and I laugh. I'm like, oh, you're going to get it, kid.
This is my new This is my new favorite fighter.
It's amazing.
This is awesome. With that statement, your phone's obviously going to open up over the next couple days. How are you going to relax? How are you going to, kind of stay mellow? Or do you not want to do that, and you want to stay that attitude like you just said for the next couple days?
No, it's a roller coaster, and I enjoy the ride. Like I said, fight week's my favorite. Only a couple times a week can I feel these feelings and get close to the goal. When it's, beginning of camp or no camp, you might have a roller coaster of emotions, but there's nothing that's coming soon. Right now, I know there's war in the next couple of days. I know there's something happening, and my body's changing, my mind is changing, and I do little things to relax. Like, for instance, today my mom is driving through Vegas with my sister. They were visiting my grandma in Arizona. And my mom refuses to watch me fight live. But I'm bringing her to my media day at the UFC Apex today. She doesn't know yet.
Gosh.
And so that's going to be relaxing for my mom to see my dream job happening. Bring your mom to work day.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you this. I covered UFC 1. I am the only person in the world, to the best of my knowledge, covered UFC 1, attended UFC 100, covered and attended 200, I'll be at 300, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't get excited and riled up. You know, this is my job to cover this sport. I can't wait for your fight on Saturday. I'm going to put yours and his photo as my screensaver just so that I can get riled the next couple days.
I'll send you the photo I have.
Okay. Nobby has my number. So
I'm going to send you the photo that's been living in my brain. When I wake up, when I go to bed, when I call my dad, when I call my mom, when I text my girl, the person that I have to get through every time I want to do anything.
I love it.
That's awesome. That's outstanding. Dan,
Dan, real quick, so going back to the MMA thing about the history and UFC, you had friends who were number one, who should have been and could have been champion. I just got to say this. Tank Abbott would talk about if it wasn't for MMA, he would be in jail or dead in the street. I think the sport of MMA saved lives, and it gave men an outlet, and women now, an outlet that they wouldn't have had otherwise to get that aggression out. And how many lives have been changed because of it?
Oh, man. I grew up with a good life. You know, I had that all-American Midwest suburb kid with hardworking parents, putting me through good schools, good athletics. You know, my parents kept me safe, but they made sure I worked hard in whatever I did, and you know, that's exactly what I did. And when I got to college and I was on my own for a bit, you know, I started partying, and after college, I knew that the partying couldn't stay if I wanted to fight. And, you know, the fighting saved me from being trapped at the bottom of a bottle, man. It helped me. Someone inspired me to inspire others.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Good stuff. Dan, thank you very much for your time. I hope that I think we got your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well. And please, go get my number from Nobby so you can send me that photo.
Can you do me a favor?
Absolutely.
I have been attempting to get a hold of Bucked Up. You know, I'm a hunting enthusiast. I go with my mentor. We go hunt all the time. You know, we shoot. And I like the culture of Bucked Up. And it's something that, you know, I'd like to get in contact with one of these energy drinks. I'm a big energy drink guy. And, you know, I would love to support a company. They haven't reached back out to me, and I think I'm a fit for them.
Consider it done. I will send you back their info once you get my number from Nobby. Obviously, we don't want to give numbers out on the air. That wouldn't end well. But, yeah, I'll take care of that for you as well. And hopefully, you know, we can get you down here in the Tampa Bay area. There's a lot of hunting going on here. We just shot on the range yesterday with the Thunderbirds. So a lot of cool stuff we can do here in Florida with you as well.
Awesome. I might be taking a trip out there this summer with my father. So we're going to take a little son and dad trip out there.
I'll get you on that range, shoot some of the things that some of the names of the guns we shot, I was told I'm not allowed to say. So we'll leave it at that.
Bad Eagles.
Have fun on Saturday. That's the reward for all the hard work. And we'll touch base later in the afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care. That is Dan Argueta back in the Octagon on Saturday. All right, I know we ran over. Let's hit this break real quick. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Cool Breeze AC.
Hey, guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shoppe. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, WTAN.
This is Bob the Beast Sapp, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. I'm going to knock him out.
Which button is the right button? It's a new board, since we blew out the other ones. Wes Sims is one of the greatest people I've ever met. He is just a good, good dude. And I guess I'm going to go out and watch Wendy sing.
I don't think I'm on.
You're on.
It's you. It's your show.
That's the way it should always be.
Yeah, but you want viewers now. Like, we're trying to grow. Which camera's got to be on this side.
I don't know about what we mean.
Nobody wants to see what you're wearing. Like, they come to see what I'm wearing. Every time I dress out, I show
that's,
up.
That's why that meeting that I just had. Okay. My TV show that I'm getting.
Okay.
Yeah. Camera. There's only one camera.
Who watches TV anymore?
Well, obviously a lot, according to this contract.
It's everything streamed now.
Well, it's all the same thing. You know, I did see this. Your boy, Mr. Beast. You know how much he makes a day?
No. But it's got to be $100 million or...
A day?
Maybe $10 million. $10 million a day.
What?
$5
million. $238,000 a day.
Oh, dang.
Comes to $700 million a year.
That's crazy. I knew he was going to be a billionaire soon.
Well, if he makes $700 million a year.
Well, he doesn't keep it. He gives it all away.
Right. Well, you could still be a billionaire, and then you're dispersing, you're giving, you're doing all that stuff.
Say tax-free.
Well, I don't know about tax-free.
Well, that's what smart people do, right? Don't they?
Well, yeah, you donate some, and you claim it on your taxes, and you do all that stuff, but I don't know. Dan Arcata.
Great guy. I'm a fan.
I am.
I'm a fan. Like, his approach to the game is, because look, we talk about fighters coming from nothing, from the street. And they fight because that's all they have, and it's a dream, and it's to get them out of that economic situation. This kid came from the suburbs, a middle-class family, educated, sports, nutrition, science, and he approaches it like, just the psychological of knowing how he parts his hair and what color his eyes are, like the detail.
You know, and I said it, and I mean it, because I don't say anything. Like when I say I don't like you, I mean it. Everything I say, I mean.
Why would you say that?
Every time I've asked, and every fighter's like, no, I don't, and no, that. This is the first person that has said it to that extent.
True.
And it honestly, I think that is the truth.
That is true.
I mean, how do you not want that? Now, I almost said, but I don't think it is. Is it he's in his head, not vice versa? You know, to right. look at that sure. that much, and you know, is he in the head?
It could be interpreted both ways.
Either way.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, now I'm the type of person that if I'm doing it, it's because I can't stand you. And you're not in my head. It's I want to get motivated.
Right.
And you know, and to be honest, no, I'm gonna lie. My brother said that him and his former president of his company were in a heated argument once, and he'd never heard anybody say this. And my brother said to him, well, honestly, and Matt came back with, why, you gonna lie to me? You know, so it's that thing. With what I have coming up in November, my daughter's wedding and induction into the Hall of Fame, and I keep putting off doing what I need to do, and you know, I got another couple of weeks I can start, and I'm going to start next Tuesday. And maybe I ought to do that. Maybe I ought to just take my
a picture of me
beautiful
on the back of the jean hat.
if there is,
and it motivates
you. A 9-inch knife.
Oh wow! I thought you were
in going, your heart.
I thought you were going P. Diddy on me. I was like, uh-oh. okay, I'm 9-inch. What?
If it's a photo of someone stabbing you, I would put that on my phone. That's the only way you're getting on my phone.
Okay.
But maybe I'll put like a wedding dress, or not even.
I could even wear it like Rodman.
Not even my. I don't
a picture of me in a wedding dress.
Okay, let me put it as bluntly as possible. I don't want you or anything about you in my phone. I don't want anything about you anywhere, but you still continue to show up.
Use it to motivate yourself to get healthy, lose weight.
That wouldn't motivate me.
You just said it would.
Like, not you.
Because you would need the motivation.
I need the motivation of something that's going to motivate me.
I'll tell you something that I think.
Anything that includes you does not motivate me.
Well, I think, here's what I think. You know, if Dan's going to be open and honest and genuine, I think the problems of America are because we don't have a defined enemy. When Russia broke up, we, as a united nation, didn't have some of the hate. That, you know, as soon as you saw a picture of a Russian flag or the Rocky movie where, you know, he was the enemy, us as a nation, we lost that common enemy. And then all of a sudden, like, we started turning on ourselves, like, you know, different races, different cultures, different economic groups, different religions. You know, we all kind of turned because we didn't have that one unified enemy. And I think it matters. And I think going into fight camp, I think that kind of mentality of putting that person's image up to motivate you every day in, day out, so you stay on your grind, I think is an art form that's not trained enough.
I agree with that. And I started to think, well, maybe putting your photo is because I dislike you that much, but that's not going to motivate me.
We can even do all those dancing cards where my voice is on it. So you can, like, I give you like a card, and then like every time you open the greeting card, it's me telling you to get motivated to go work out, Randy.
But see, again, the problem is you don't motivate me.
I can get a Slim Jim, like, oh yeah. And then I could like snap it. And then you run for Slim Jims.
I don't think he's grasping. I don't think you're grasping.
That's your guy, Randy Savage.
Right. Randy needs to do it.
Use his legacy, his approach to the game, his commitment to his body. Use his intensity, because that was your boy. That was your dog. Use his mantra. Like Kobe Bryant's dead, but the Mamba mentality lives on to the next basketball generation. Use Randy, the Macho Man Savage persona and body of work ethic, and adopt it as yours.
I think if it's really going to do that, and like I said, the photo of Mr. T with Rocky Balboa, everything Dan said, and like I said, he's my new favorite fighter for right now.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor Peek's coming up. He could replace
that. Right, you know, and I want to talk to Carlos Vera at 215.
That's 215 from a year ago. Well, it's really not a year ago because Bob Cook was then too. Yeah. And Carrot Top, and then Bisping.
Yeah, we got an action-packed 2 o'clock hour.
So that would have been after the Super Bowl. I'm already I've already got my house confirmed for New Orleans Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah, it's awesome.
I should be back in the game by then.
Who?
Me.
Again,
look, I brought my uniform. I'm ready.
I'm back, Coach. Again, you don't motivate me. So my son was having me watch your former enemy. Now you love him. Blah 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 blah. That Portnoy went to your buddy in Safety Harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie Coles. You know, so I recognized, you know, that whole, and I went to the pizza shop in St. Pete. 2 hour wait.
Yeah, it's insane.
I said, I used to go to the deli right next to it. I'm not, well, I am, because it's Simply Delicious makes the best. I've had people, including family members, tell me that they don't like the Cuban from Simply Delicious. Ask me why.
Why?
Too much meat.
Oh, wow.
I've never, I'm like, what?
Wow.
No, there's no such thing.
Blasphemy for a
gallon. It is so I've been there numerous times, and it's a 25, 35, 40 minute wait at Simply Delicious. I didn't even know there was a pizza shop.
Wow.
That's how nobody was there. And when I went, there's a sign, we apologize, social media, blah, blah, blah. They are killing it.
They're all killing it right now.
In that particular episode, he said that he did something he's never, ever done.
What's that?
He let them make a second pizza.
Yeah, he redid it.
Yeah.
The Violet Stone.
Yeah, which was crazy. That's not something, you know, that he normally does. So
he's changing his ways. Like, that's not the Dave Portnoy that got him the shock value and got him the stardom and the fame. Now he's able to, like, show a little compassion because he doesn't have to destroy people's livelihoods.
Speaking of compassion, sit there and just be quiet. Let's go back to the phone lines as we continue to get ready for another weekend of MMA back out at the Apex this weekend. Let's welcome back to the program, Trevor Peak. Trevor, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Another fight week, and I always ask this, are they all the same, or do you purposely try to change it up a little because they're always the same?
Is what the same now?
Yeah, fight week, you know, what you're going to do the next 3 days. So you have your media stuff today and then, you know, maybe a little workout or something tomorrow. I'm just asking, a lot of times fighters try to change it up. They try to change up timings of doing stuff. Or do you try to keep everything consistent every fight week?
Everything usually stays pretty consistent. I mean, the biggest thing that's changed for me is these last two camps, I've had a dietitian and stuff, so I've known exactly what to eat, when to eat it, but as far as training regimen, weight cut and all that stuff, everything's pretty well the same. I mean, I could try to get my body acclimated to performing at exactly the time I'm going to be fighting. That's about the only thing I adjust is maybe the times I train.
When you bring that person in, is everything, whatever they say, you're good with, or do you put some of your, you know, switch on it, whether it's the type of food or the time of food or whatever that nutritionist says, that's what you do?
Whenever it's right here at the end, I mean, I do exactly what they say. I mean, I follow it to a T because, I mean, there were so many times I kind of did the guesswork on my own, and fight day might roll around and I might not feel the best. I didn't really know how to cut weight properly, and that last fight in Abu Dhabi, whenever I had hired Mark Hernandez, man, I felt so good. Even on weigh-in days, like, or the day I got weighed in, man, we went to ceremonial weigh-ins, and that was just maybe like 10 hours after we'd gotten weighed in, and I felt like I was ready to fight that day. So he really, really gained my trust and everything. So I'm following everything he says. I mean, exactly like he says it. So it's going good.
So, Trevor, I mean, so with that being said, with the nutritionist in place, is peak week still intense? I mean, it's still hard. Like, compared to the years past, or, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's hard compared to the weeks leading up to it, man. I mean, I've put my body through so much these last 7-8 weeks that fight week kind of gets here, and it's more of a, you're really just trying to get the weight down and you're just turning the motor on and off, you know, just trying to keep your cardio and muscles firing off on all cylinders. You don't really want to push your body too much. You know, you don't want to go in the octagon, any kind of soreness or anything like that. So this week's more or less just turning the motor on, keeping what you had gained over the last few weeks, keeping all that. And then just, like I said, just dialing it the rest of the way in.
What kind of fighter are you fight week? Meaning, normally I ask the fighters, you know, do you try to not think about Saturday? Do you try to, you know, clear your head and relax? And almost every fighter, except for the last fighter we had, Dan Argueta, who has his opponent's picture on his phone, and he looks at it, you know, every time he opens the phone. So which are you? Are you concentrating, not necessarily on the fight per se, but the opponent? Or are you just trying to relax and everything is going to come when it does, when it's reward day on Saturday?
I think it's a healthy mix of both for me. I like taking time to actually enjoy the journey and the experiences that I'm encountering with this fight stuff, and you know, relaxing, recuperating, getting rejuvenated. But I also stay pretty dialed in as far as like my focus and what I want to implement in my game plan. I mean, I think about the fight, you know, so many times throughout the day. But like I said, it's just a healthy mix for me. I don't care nothing about having nobody on my phone, having to look at another man. I think I ain't doing nothing like that by any means. But I'm definitely still doing film study, going over combos, discussing the fight with my coach, you know, a bunch throughout the day. But I also draw back a little bit and try to enjoy, like, just wherever I'm at, maybe Las Vegas or wherever it may be, and just the people that I'm around, enjoy them and take a little bit of a break from the fight mentality too.
Well, before we talk about the fight and I get your opinion on your opponent, talk to us about the Peak Nation podcast.
Oh, man, yeah. A good friend of mine, Kyle Mays, kind of got it all started up for me, and it's been cool, man. I mean, I've gotten to, you know, discuss things I want to talk about and just hang out with him and talk with him a good bit. And I'd actually heard a story, the first episode we'd released, this person had told a friend of mine that, you know, she was having a bad day, and that she almost went and relapsed that day and did some drugs and stuff, and something told her to click on that thing, and she'd listen to our podcast, and it kind of gave her some inspiration that day, and she didn't use any drugs. And I don't know if I'll really ever make any kind of money with it. That ain't really the goal, but if, you know, it can impact just a person here and there, man, then that'll be more than I could ever ask out of it. But yeah, it's going good. I'm looking to start bringing other fighters in, other interesting people, business people here eventually, once I get all my equipment and everything set up, and try to branch it out and get some more interesting lives involved in it.
Very cool, and that's an awesome story. And as you're telling that story, you know, I'm thinking about my good friend and a lot of people's good friend, Mark Coleman, and everything that he went through with, you know, with his alcohol and how he's been sober so long. And I'm sure you know the story, how he just, you know, was in the right place at the right time and saved his parents from the burning house. And that's all because he got sober. And, you know, one thing, you know, definitely can help somebody, you know, do things like that. What are some of the subjects that you would like to talk about, or that you do talk about on your podcast?
Well, I mean, we talk about, like, you know, fights and stuff like that, the previous events and everything, or maybe like just a little bit of try to stay out of politics. We've kind of ventured off into them just a little bit, but a lot of it's kind of faith-based, really, just talking about experiences with Jesus and everything, kind of how he's helped put me on a good path and bless me and stuff like that. And just want it to be an encouraging, uplifting podcast at the end of the day.
Before, you know, we get back into talking about the fight, where can people find the podcast?
Spotify, and he's been posting them on YouTube as well. But I mean, it's just the Peak Nation podcast on Spotify.
There you have it.
So Trevor, this is, I was going to wait till after the break and talk to Randy and about it, but I'm going to give it to you because I'm on your Facebook page. There's a picture of Jesus on a cross. I don't know if I've ever seen him depicted that way, but I could only imagine if I was going through a weight cut, you know, coming from the bodybuilding world, that peak week going to the stage, I would always feel like I was suffering in some way, but I would, instead of a man that I'm fighting on my phone like Dan has, I would use this photograph of Jesus on a cross. Anytime I felt like training camp was tough, or food was tough, or weight goals were tough. And so you inspire me, man. This image, I've never seen it before. So thanks for putting that on your wall. Thanks for being so public with your love for Jesus. And it's a good look, man. You inspire me, bro.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I believe that image actually come from the Passion of the Cross, if I'm not mistaken, man. I seen a meme here a while back, and it was like it had Mel Gibson talking to the gentleman that played Jesus in that movie, and they're in between sets, and Jesus is kind of sitting there, and he's all bloodied up and everything, and Mel Gibson's talking to him, and in the little post, it was like me complaining to Jesus about all my problems, and it kind of what you was just saying, it really put things in perspective for me. Once I seen that, I was like, man, I sit down here and complain and about my situations and circumstances a lot of times, and I had never and will never have to go through anything like that. And if I did, I would probably be somewhat maybe deserving of it a little bit. That guy didn't deserve any of it, and, you know, he still took all of our love and all of our sin and saved all of us. And I can't imagine what it would be like to sit there on that cross and knowing that you never deserved any of it. You never did one thing wrong in your entire life, and it really brings you back into perspective and helps you. It helps me anyways, just kind of quit being such a sissy about whatever I have going on, you know.
And Trevor, my final question for you, with a voice like that, where did you grow up? What accent is that? Because to hear the word of the Lord in that tone, you got a gift, my brother.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm actually from a little bitty tiny town in the northeastern corner of Alabama, man. It's called Pisgah. It's up on Sand Mountain. I don't even know the population, man. Maybe like 1,500 people, maybe. We don't even have a red light in our town, brother. We've got a Dollar General, though. It's our most prized possession.
All right, so I have to ask, anytime somebody says they're from Alabama, is it Auburn or Alabama? Which are you?
It's Auburn. Auburn for sure. But, I mean, it's once I left my wilder days behind me, man, I kind of I don't really watch it, football and all that, as much as I used to. The main reason I watch it now is that's something that me and my dad can do together. But I mean, once I got involved in this fight stuff, man, it really takes up a lot of my time and energy. I mean, even when the fights are on, I'm watching them, studying future opponents or studying techniques. I mean, I really love this fight stuff, man. But yeah, my whole family's Auburn fans, though.
You know, nobody understands. Everybody thinks there's rivalries. I'm a veteran of the Navy. I just went to the Navy-Army game. Yeah, that's a rivalry. Michigan-Michigan State, Florida-Florida State. I don't think anybody has any idea what Alabama-Auburn rivalry is. My brother played ball at Alabama, baseball, could have gone pro, whatever. He went to get gas once, and he gave him his credit card, which had the Alabama logo. They refused to sell him gas.
I believe it, man. Yeah, I almost get nervous about saying I'm an Auburn fan just because I ain't trying to lose no support. But yeah, it's most definitely the biggest rival in any, really, I think any kind of sport I've ever seen, man. It's nuts.
Now the real question is it specific to football? Because Alabama is in the Final Four for their NCAA basketball team right now. And that is shocking the world, because you think of Alabama as a football dynasty.
I guarantee you Trevor wants Alabama to lose by 100.
Man, I tell you, I used to would have, but like now, I just want good things for my state, really. It don't really affect me anymore. Like whenever I was having to be around a bunch of Alabama fans and stuff growing up, and they knew I was an Auburn fan, and just having to hear the wrath of being an Auburn fan every single day, I'd kind of wish bad for them. But now, at the end of the day, man, I just want good things for the whole state and all that. So, I mean, I really hope they win out, man. It'd be good for them.
All right, before we move on, I'm just going to let you know this so that you can throw a little hate towards Alabama, and that's okay. So I asked Marcus Brimage, a former UFC fighter, that same question, and he said, they don't call it the great state of Auburn.
I heard that, man.
So I'll just throw that out. Let's turn it in our final couple minutes here. Give me your thoughts on Charles.
Oh, man, I'm excited about it, man. I mean, I've worked my tail off. I've been in Denver for the last 7 weeks training with, you know, one of the world's greatest coaches to ever exist, Mr. Dwayne Ludwig. Yep. And I feel like I've leveled up just extraordinarily, man. I mean, I've gotten so much better in some areas, and I really feel like I'm going to go in there and dominate, man. I think my pressure will be too much for Charlie to handle, really. And I know I'm going to land, and, you know, he's been put to sleep before, and he'll be put to sleep again. So I believe I'll get knocked out of the night, honestly.
Does it matter, you know, Apex, arena, stadium, backyard, living room, kitchen? Does it matter where this fight is?
Man, I'd fight him in a cornfield, brother. But at the end of the day, I do feel like the UFC is missing out on a huge market and opportunity with not putting me in an arena. I mean, I've got a big crowd, Peak Nation. They follow me, man, and they'll fill an arena up. I mean, the last time they put me in an arena in the States, I mean, everybody there told me I had the biggest pop, and I was still on the prelims with maybe the three quarters of the arena even full. And the whole place where I even got out there was chanting peak, peak, peak. So, I mean, the only issue I have with Apex is, like, the tickets are so expensive. I mean, I think the tickets are, like, $3,000 or $4,000. So a lot of people that will follow me and support me, they probably don't have that kind of money, you know. So I wished it was an arena just so more people could come and support me and experience it with me. But at the end of the day, man, like, fight's a fight. I fought so many fights for free in the middle of nowhere, you know, so at least I'm getting paid for this one, and at least it's televised.
Can you hear those chants? Obviously you can as you're walking to the octagon. A lot of fighters say, you know, I'm zoned, I don't hear, I only hear my coaches, but you have to be able to hear those chants when it's as loud as they are, right?
Yes, sir. It's one of the absolute craziest experiences and feelings I've ever had in my entire life. Like, I mean, it's something like, I don't know, man, you can feel it in your chest, like, and the vibrations, it's just, I mean, I've got my every hair on my body standing up right now. I'm getting so excited thinking about it. It's a feeling like something I've never really experienced before like that. I mean, on the regional scene, I had a, you know, real good crowd following and everything, and I always had, you know, several hundred people following me around, and I got to experience that. But I mean, when you're in an arena that holds 15,000 people, and the way that sound echoes and carries and vibrates throughout that place, it's just really, it's a crazy, crazy experience.
So, I mean, Trevor, Randy is considered the OG of the UFC. He's been around forever. And one of his biggest complaints is what you just spoke on, that fighters' arenas aren't full until the main card. And so many of the fans miss out. So many of the ticket purchase people who bought the tickets miss out on seeing great fights from people like you, and to help build your following, to be able to know who you are and see your performance. So that's one thing Randy's been big on, is advocating that if you're a fight fan, don't just go for the main fight, the co-main event and up. Go for the experience, because you're going to get to follow and meet people like you.
I know it would never happen, Trevor, but I'd love to see maybe one time they do like they do at Broadway, or they do at a hockey game where you can't walk in. You know, in the middle of play, you have to wait till like an intermission or something. They should have like times. If you're not there at the first one, you can't come in until like 3 hours later. That way to get people in there to watch these fights, and it does. It really bothers me.
It bothers me too, man. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, if people's got that kind of money and they want to pay thousands of dollars and miss out on half of the event, then I guess that's on them. There's no way in crap I would ever do anything like that myself. I mean, I spend $50 on a ticket, I'm going to get my money's worth, and I'm just a natural, just die-hard fan. So I'm there from first fight if I'm at an event, if I can be.
Yeah, I was just telling Dan this. I covered UFC 1. I've covered numerous fights since, 100, 200. I'll be at 300 next week. I believe, I could be wrong, I believe I'm the only person in the world that covered UFC 1 and is still covering the UFC. So it is my passion, you know, everything about it, you know, is what I want. Final question for you, to get to know you a little bit. You might have said something like this on your podcast. If you could have dinner with any four people, living or passed away, and I only could answer one, and it's not Jesus. I'm sorry. It's Rocky Balboa. A big difference there. But I've never thought about it either. So we'll give you some time. I'll reach out to you after your fight on Saturday, after your reward on Saturday, and we can get your list from you later.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll definitely think on it hard for sure.
There you have it. Trevor, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Hey, man, that sounds great. I appreciate you guys. Thank y'all so much for your time and having me on, man. I've enjoyed it.
And I'm going to tell you something, and Matt and anybody here that's in our studio will tell you, Nobby will tell you, anybody there will tell you, if I say it, I mean it. I will never say anything that I won't do. I don't believe I've ever listened to anybody's podcast. I don't listen to other radio shows. I don't want anybody to ever be able to say, you took a sponsor, you took a question, you took one word. I'm going to listen to your podcast.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it, and I will do that.
Oh, man, dude. Thank you. That's an honor, man. Thank you, sir.
I will do it next week. Best of luck, getting through the next couple days. Relax, because your reward is right in front of you on Saturday night.
Yes, sir. Well, man, thank you again for having me on. I hope y'all have a blessed rest of your day. I wish y'all the best in the future, and thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon.
You as well. That is Trevor Peak. And anybody out there in Radio Land, the Peak Nation podcast, go ahead and give it a listen. I'm looking forward to it.
But that's it, Randy. You go on the Jesus diet, water, bread, and fish, and we will get you in the best shape of your life by November 2nd.
I got a better idea. Oh, no, we can't go to break yet. It's 55, so but we have to wait a couple
Jesus
minutes.
What about the Jesus diet? Just water? You can do some wine occasionally.
First of all, you have to convert it first. I don't think I've ever drank wine.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about that.
I'm not drinking wine.
It's an antioxidant.
You know what else I don't drink? Water.
Well, that's a big deal.
I don't drink water. I drank more water, and hopefully Trevor's not, he's off to.
But you're one of him. Like, you and Jesus are the same. You're the same people. That's your brother, man. Acknowledge him.
What is he, Roman Reigns?
He just went through he had to carry his own cross.
Is he Roman Reigns?
Imagine walking to the cage and you have to carry your own gear, your gauze, your...
Well, I remember vividly, and I've talked about it with Wes, Tim Sylvia, after he won, and I think it was even after when he won the belt, he's carrying his own equipment and his own, all his crap out. Everybody took off, and I believe it was the title fight, but I know that it was in Atlantic City. And he's schlepping all this stuff. And, I felt bad for him. I didn't go help him, but I definitely felt bad for him. But two good dudes today.
Great. Great dudes.
It's...
And inspiration for you to, either put a picture of me on your phone to lose weight and be motivated to work out. Or you go on the Jesus diet and follow him, and you'll be thin and fit.
There is literally everything in the world I would put on my phone before you. I honestly don't know of anything. I can't think of anything. As a Jewish person, I'm even going to say this. You are Hitler. I think I'd put Hitler.
Oh, that's hard.
I'm just saying the truth.
Hitler.
I don't know of anything that you could say to me, it's me or this, that I would choose you.
What did Hitler do to you? Why are you so mad against that guy?
You're an idiot.
I mean, you got to respect the mind behind it, though.
I don't respect anything about it.
I can't get people to help me empty my storage unit out that I'm trying to liquidate.
Well, do like Steve. Just
that guy got people to kill for him. How do you have that kind of persona or aura or presence or control or manipulate, whatever the skill is?
He's not the only one that has power in countries. And there, you'll do what I say or I'll kill you.
That's true.
Maybe that's what I got to do. You need to leave or I'll kill you.
I left last week and now I'm back.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is you always leave, come back.
I'm like a boomerang. You throw me away, I come back. I even brought all my gear. I wanted to get it appraised. I heard there's another guy, Ron or Rick. Who's the baseball card guy?
You mean my new co-host?
Yeah. What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah.
So I brought my cards. A picture of me and my best friend, Wade Boggs.
Who cares about that pic? You brought this picture to appraise this?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it's worth.
Okay,
give me $30. I'll throw it away.
Look, and this is my new sponsor. No, it's not. But Stick Mobility.
And this baseball card, every single baseball card that you have shown me.
I'm getting that one signed by Dion when he comes here in 2 weeks. I'm actually going to be a part of the convention.
Good.
Coach Prime. So should I call him Dion or Coach Prime?
You call him what you want, but I got some text messages from the other coach at Colorado.
Yeah.
And so we'll see who gets.
The defensive side of the ball is going to be stacked this year.
It's he sent me a photo. Scary. He's in with his new office, his new portal.
Yeah.
You know how when you're going to school there, and obviously now if you teach there or you're a coach there, you have access to the portal and your emails and all that kind of stuff. So that will be your coach of the Buffalo, the Colorado Buffaloes.
Is that your new favorite team?
No, I don't have a favorite team.
You're a loyal guy to players. Our friend Michael Pittman just received a new car for being loyal.
It's not being loyal.
A great father. Because Junior didn't have to buy him nothing. He could have kept that $70 million extension and not spend it.
Mike told me a story And then I reached out.
Uh-oh. Oh, Steve. Steve, I'm taking over the show. Give me. Steve, you just had heart.
No, it's. First of all, your heart's not where I'm rubbing.
You just skipped the beat.
No, I didn't.
Maybe those are bullet holes. Well, I don't know what those SWAT things
are. I slept bad, and I have this. I need a massage.
I'm looking for a co-host starting next Wednesday. Knockout Radio Live.
Oh, no. I have the best co-host next week.
Oh. Well, obviously, I don't have one to praise this.
Well, you're not.
After signature, 2 weeks from now.
Well, a lot of people think when you get a baseball card signed, it depreciates.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and I get it. It would affect the card. It's no longer mint.
Is it more valuable because the actual person?
A lot of people say no.
Really?
Yeah. Now, again, it's to each their own. You know, like I have things that, you know, I have a Wayne Gretzky rookie card that's right. Signed. It's for me. I'm not going to sell it. And it's kind of like, you know, your numerous stupid questions that you ask. And, you know, where you once asked about my funeral, and I said, I could care less because I'm not going to be there.
Right.
Same thing with some of the memorabilia I have. You know, I have the Gretzky. I have a Mickey Mantle sign.
Now, when you get an autograph signed.
Been years.
Do you put your name to Randy, like, or do you just do it their name and the uniform number so you can sell it or has value later?
First of all, not to sell.
No, not you, but I'm just saying general population.
It's for the stuff that I have acquired, you know, and it's funny because I'm getting a Pittman Jr. game jersey to go in my studio next to my Pittman game jersey.
Do you want it to say to Randy, or do you want it just to be Michael Pittman Jr.?
You know, all along, you know, as long as I've gotten, we're at the top of the hour. Let's hit the top of the hour. We'll continue this hour number three.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.